Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. And yes, football season is less than 100 days away. So we'll just keep counting. It's June the 3rd already. This 2017 thing is like a blur. It's like Usain Bolt type calendar turning here. It's really, really moving fast. Football season will be here before you know it. So, hey, today, speaking of football season, we got to do a little conversation. So I'm going to open the phones up. If you're brave enough to have your extra point ready, I want to hear it today. So we're going to be working these phones and trying to see what folks are talking about. We'll talk about anything, but I really want to know this. I'm putting it on social media during the week. Colin Kaepernick. Still waiting, still not signed, still just out there. Do you take him? If you own a football team, do you take him? If you don't own a football team, do you want your team to take him? So are you a Skins fan? Do they need him? I don't think so. You a New England fan? Do they need him? I don't think so, but, you know. So, hey, so the lines are going to be wide open the whole show. Of course, we'll have Super Referee Craig Muckle come in and talk all things the finals. A little sluggish start there for Bron Bron and the team. But I'm rooting for LeBron. They are not better. Cleveland is not better than Golden State. However, it's the finals. And, you know, in order to be the GOAT, which I think is what LeBron's striving for, you're going to have to win some series where you're not supposed to win them. And this is one of them. So Super Referee Craig Muckle will come in later in the show to chat all things hoops. But first, we got to do our pay attention topic. And there's so much. Man, there's so much to talk about. Man, obviously, everyone's seen the video now. Tiger Woods. So, you know, we could talk about this not only for 15 minutes, we could talk about this for an hour. This guy was Camelot. This guy was the king of the hill, PGA Tour and the world of golf. And now he is not. And so the question is, you know, I mean, now he's taking the painkillers and it's making him drowsy and that, the DUI and all that. Is he done? Is Tiger Woods really done? I'm looking at the pictures of Tiger and the mugshot, and I'm looking at they had him in the back trying to get the breathalyzer test going, and he was just not Tiger. And so now you got to ask yourself, how do you even come back from all of this? I don't know. I just don't know. So we could talk about Tiger Woods all day and night, but nope. Golden State, the finals, and it was a blowout, 113-91 in game one. Both teams between them, I think Cleveland's lost two games. Golden State's lost zero in the playoffs. And I asked this question last week. I'll put it out there again. Is this good? I really believe that the league should consider shrinking the number of regular season games, because you know, there are 82 games in a regular season. If I got to wait 82 games for the obvious, which is Golden State's the best team, they're going to probably win the world championship, then I'm not going to those. I'm not going to those games, those meaningless January, February games that cost an awful lot of money. And here we go back to the business of sports. This show is all about the business of sports. I mean, shrink some of these games and make them important. Now, I mean, I really believe out of 82 games, they probably could shrink this way down. Like, I don't know, 70? I don't know. I don't know. But we got to do something about this. And if this series is not a good one, meaning, you know, Cleveland goes down in 4 or even 5, that's going to be a real problem for the league next year, I think, as far as attendance. Because, you know, who's going to go to a game in February between, you know, say Golden State and, like, you know, Portland? Like, who cares? Nobody. So, I don't know. We gotta definitely look at that. But we're not going to talk about it. OTA. So I see one of my favorite tight ends, Dennis Pitta, Baltimore Ravens. Got it. Re-injured his hip. He's had a dislocated hip for some time. Re-injured it. Are OTAs legit? Like, to me, OTAs should just be rookies. It should be called rookie camp. There should not be any veteran players that have to come. Like, why do they have to be there? Why can't they just, you know, show up during 2-a-day like anything else? Now, I get it, college football, they do spring ball. I get it. But I really believe in the NFL, these guys are professionals. This is their livelihood. To have them show up for 3 days in late May or early June, you're really playing with fire. I can tell you this right now, the union, the player reps and the union for the NFL, I know they're against it because guys can get hurt. If I'm a star player and I know that, you know, I'm the starting quarterback or I'm the, you know, best receiver on the team or what have you, I'm not going to OTA. And if I go, you know, I'm going to tell them, hey, I got a headache or something. I'm not going to risk my paycheck as an NFL player on OTAs, when OTAs really should be. And for those of you listening who don't know what an OTA is, it's organized team activities. So really what's up, there should be a lot of meetings and a lot of, like, protocol stuff. How do we stretch? How do we line up? How do we get in formation? When can you go get water? That kind of stuff, right? But the NFL's turned it into 3 extra days of training camp, and guys are getting hurt, and it's just not good. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that either. I got a very interesting topic, and if you're in Hagerstown, Maryland this weekend, you'll really appreciate this pay attention topic. Class A minor league baseball. The Hagerstown Sun. The Hagerstown is about an hour and 15 minutes away from D.C. Beautiful little town. I've been there many times. They got a great outlet mall. That's really all they have is an outlet mall. They got a go-kart track. That's about all they have. But great little town. But they got the Hagerstown Suns as well. And they're a minor league team. And this weekend, they're playing a series against the New York Mets minor league team. Single A now. So single A is the lowest. There's the major league, the Orioles, Nationals, that sort of thing. And then there's triple A, and then there's double A, and then there's single A. So single A is like guys just starting out, high school guys or, you know, guys that just, older guys even, that just haven't made it to the big leagues. Well, the Mets, the New York Mets, their single A team has a guy named Tim Tebow. I know many of you have heard of him. Mr. Tebow is a rock star. He is a celebrity. He would make you leave your house in D.C. and drive all the way to Hagerstown in hopes of getting a glimpse maybe a selfie, maybe an autograph. That's how wildly popular this athlete is. He's written books. He's been on the Rachel Ray Show. I mean, he's done it all. He really, really is a very positive yet polarizing sports figure. He's going to be right here in Hagerstown, Maryland. Now, if you look back on his career, Tim Tebow, you know, he went to University of Florida, won a national championship at Florida, and it really was about his leadership. The guy was such a leader, a real Christian guy. He does all the things right. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. He goes to the NFL. He gets picked, and people were skeptical about whether or not he could really, really play in the NFL. But so he gets drafted by Denver. John Elway drafted him. He goes to Denver, and he beats a Steelers team, and what was a miracle. I mean, a minute left in the game, and he's left-handed. He steps back, he guns a left-handed ball to the receiver, minute left, and they beat the Steelers, and Denver really did not have a chance to beat the Steelers that day, and that put him on the map. And once he won that game, believe me, you thought that he was the second coming. I know that I really believe that this guy was something special. I did not think that he was an NFL quarterback, but I thought that his leadership skill, his unbelievable, unwavering faith was something that was just different and special. However, we found out real quickly that Tim Tebow ain't all that. He ain't an NFL quarterback. And once teams started blitzing him and they started hitting him because he was trying to run around like he did in college, it was real evident that this guy might want to try something else. So the Broncos get rid of him. He bounces around a couple teams, the Jets, a couple other teams, even tried maybe out play special teams or running back or tight end. None of that worked. The Eagles finally gave him one last try. That failed miserably. And so the Mets go, why don't we take a look at, he can play baseball. He played baseball in college. We know he can throw the ball hard because he was a quarterback. So the Mets gave him a look, and lo and behold, he's not a bad baseball player. He's not. Now, here's the question. And, again, the Extra Points Radio Show is a business in sports show. Here's the business of sports. The Mets lost last night, by the way, to the Pittsburgh Pirates 12-5. The Mets are nowhere near winning the National League East. Looks like the Washington Nationals will win that. Go Nats. So pretty soon the Mets are going to have to say, you know what? People are going to stop coming to the game. Well, if people stop coming to the game and you aren't selling tickets and those $9 beers and those $8 hot dogs, what do you do? Well, why don't we call up Tim Tebow? So I'm going to make an early prediction right here, right now, that I think Tim Tebow is going to be called up to the major league, if for nothing else than to sell tickets to New York fans. I really believe that's what's going to happen. So watch that closely, because I think it'd be interesting. I know if he does get signed up and the Mets play the Nationals, I'm going to go out to the Nats just to see him, just to see, you know, maybe – you know, what if he's good at it? You know, I don't know. I mean, he's good at it in the minor league. What if he's good at it in the majors? So I think it's an interesting story to watch. I think it's a story that you definitely should this week. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to open up the phone. So if you want to call in and talk about Colin Kaepernick is still waiting. Would you pick him to come in to your locker room as an NFL quarterback and play? The guy's pretty good. Now, I said on social media during the week, I would not. And I said I would reveal my reasons why not this morning on the Extra Points Radio Show. And I will do that as soon as we get back from a quick break. I think we're going to have Chuck Brown take us out. Chuck's going to be having his picture, a mural on the wall at Ben's Chili Bowl. So we got to always remember Chuck, and we do that every Saturday when we take our break. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little Colin Kaepernick. So So I'm telling y'all right now, have your extra point, because mine is this. I'm not taking it. I'll tell you why when we get back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Money, and there is only one person that I know of that loves Chuck more than I do, and I see his phone number lit up, and that is one Timothy Washington. And I know Tim's had some week this week. He's been taking care of his pop, which is great. George Washington, George, if you're listening, shout out, man. Get out of there. Get out of there and get on, man. Get out of there and get on. So I got a feeling Wash likes Kaepernick, but I'm going to find out. Let's bring him in. Wash, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's happening?
Hey, Wash, what's going on, man? So, look, I put it out there that that I would not play this Kaepernick. I have no way in the world I would put him in my locker room and on my team. Now, what say you on this thing? Because if you look at the numbers, one can make a number argument that this guy should have been picked up a long time ago. So am I wrong here?
I don't know. I wouldn't say wrong. I think the team that's going to give him an opportunity is probably going to be a team that's desperate for play at the position. And there are many of those in the NFL. I think Seattle went with the, you know, did what they thought was, well, I don't know if it's worth the effort or worth the try simply because of the baggage. But I think, you know, we know that we've seen a guy play. And in the proper situation with a, I think with a coach that's going to be more, not so much receiving or accepting of what he brings to the table as far as his protest and what he felt as far as his, what he felt as far as what he thought about the league and his feelings toward that particular situation, but simply somebody that's going to get him to focus on football and improve his play, he'll be fine. I think his play is what has to improve, and I think his play will improve in the right situation under the right coach and under the right offensive mind. I think if someone gives an offense towards his skill set but also allows him to grow into a person that can actually produce from the pocket, Kaepernick would be fine. But it's just a matter of whatever team is going to be willing to be receptive or be tolerant of the baggage that comes with his particular feelings as far as the protest. But I think he realizes that that was a move that hurt his career. And I think if you got him in your locker room, it's more than likely you're going to get a pretty much a good soldier that's going to be there for one thing, and that's to try to focus on football. I don't think he'd be a deterrent, but I think Seattle felt, not necessarily worth it. I think what Coach Carroll, I think, said was he's good enough to be a starter in the league. So if I've got a starter, you know, backing up the guy that they already got some issues as far as some of the people on the team with Russell Wilson. So they didn't want, you know, to have two guys that more than likely could be, you know, lightning rods to other stuff going on in your locker room. It made sense for them to say, nah, that's okay.
Well, all good points. And I can tell you, and I promised that I would reveal to our listening audience why I would not take him. But before I do that, and I'm sure you know these numbers already, but the guy, first of all, he's only 29 years old, so he's still young, still got a lot of playing. He's a second-round pick. He's played in 69 games. He's thrown 60%, which is, 60% is okay. 12,000 yards passing, 72 touchdowns, 30 picks. You know that stat, 2-1 on that. He's been sacked a lot. He's been sacked 171 times. But he's played all 6 years with the same team, which I think there's something to be said about that. Fumbled the ball 21 times. But last year he threw the ball 2,300 yards, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. Man, that is pretty – and then throwing another 450-some-odd yards rushing in only 12 games. I mean, that's pretty good. He replaced Blaine Gabbert, who went over to Arizona. So I'm trying to figure out, well, wait a minute. Didn't Arizona need a backup? Yes, they needed a backup, but they used the guy that Kaepernick replaced as the backup, and he went 5 touchdowns, 6 picks in 6 games. You see where these numbers are going. So here's my thing. I'm not going to put him in my locker room or pick him for this reason. One, I don't think people follow him. I really don't. I don't think they followed him on the field, and I don't think they're going to follow him after he kneeled down. Because if you look at it now, a lot of people didn't follow the kneel down. You know, everybody thought, oh, my God, he's on the sideline kneeling. Everybody's going to do it. What, like 3 guys did it? I couldn't name any of them. So I don't think that at that position you got to have guys that follow you, as you and I know. I haven't seen that yet, right? Second thing, he's not really accurate, right? He's not really accurate. 64% is about the going rate for a decent quarterback in the National Football League. He's at 60%. It's actually 59.6. So he couldn't hit a moving target if he had a gun in his head. And then finally, I don't know if he could do anything out of the zone read. You take away the zone read, I have not seen him be successful without it. We know another guy like that who wore number 10 here, took him out of the zone read, didn't win any games, right?
That's correct.
I just don't get it. But do you think, and you went to a predominantly majority school, so you've seen this up close and personal, do you think race has anything to do with it? Because it sounded like on your answer it was strictly football. With my answer, it's strictly football. But do you think that this guy, because of his newfound blackness, that now he's going to be blackballed in the NFL?
The NFL is an institution that has a history of such treatment towards certain players. People can believe that or not, accept it or not, but it is true. I think with Kaepernick, though, it was the production that got him first and foremost looked at in a different light. It was obvious, yes, the numbers pretty much speak for themselves. You got to be to be an NFL guy, to be a top-notch NFL guy, you got to at least be able to throw 64-65%, like you said. And then his other issue was the decision-making once, once he's out of the pocket, he kind of now at that point runs around. Now, to his credit, we can't really put it all on him, the sacks and so forth, because his offensive line there was horrible in the last 2 seasons in particular. But we also recognize that his production as far as completion percentage was not where it needed to be. Now, did he have a dependable targets? I think that's another question you got to go with. I think his best year was his first 2 seasons were his best season. And they made an NFC championship. They made an NFC championship game. What, the second season? So he's got, and they made a Super Bowl. He made a Super Bowl. So he's
he
got
made a Super Bowl. Yeah.
He's got a pedigree as far as he's got talent around him. He can produce. But again, like you said, the key thing there was you had the predominant part of the offense was zone read. And when you're doing read option offense, it obviously flashed in the NFL to a point where it produced magical numbers for a couple of guys. The one, like you said, Mr. Griffin, we know very well. But also, I think once defenses kind of got an idea of like, okay, this is how we're going to defend this. We're just going to crush the quarterback. And now the quarterback became the targeted person to defend it. And then, obviously, at that point, now you're looking at injuries. Kaepernick's dealt with injury. Griffin has dealt with injury. They're two of the major ones that ran the offense. Wilson has done it for a while because, again, part of their offense, people don't believe it, but part of Seattle's success is zone read, you know, and the play action that comes from zone. You know, so if you got a guy that's smart enough to realize I can't be taking these hits, you can be successful. You know, you can produce. Where Kaepernick has lacked, though, I think some of the other guys, and Robert included in this, you have to allow yourself to give yourself a chance to learn how to play from the pocket. It's not so much that you can't do it. You've got to accept that it's part of your success. It's going to make you a better quarterback. It's going to make your career longer. It's going to make you be more marketable as a quarterback. Griffin can't get a job because everybody knows he can't play from the pocket. No one's going to sign that dude. It's a shame that 5 years ago we saw one of the most heavenly situations as far as his production on the field in the season for Washington. But now here we are 5 years later, this dude can't get a job. And part of the reason is no fault because he won't take the time to be receptive to have to change his style of play by listening to coaches tell you, look here, man, you know, you talk a certain way about what it is that you think you can do, but we sitting here looking at film. We know what we see. You've shown us that you can't do certain things. So let us help you get to that point, and then just won't do it. I think Kaepernick more or less has he's got to get better in that essence as well. Otherwise, we'll see.
He's got to get better. I mean, the one thing about the league is, you know, you can beat your child, you can beat your wife, and they'll forgive you if you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
Just ask Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, who, by the way, signed up as a high school coach this week in New Rochelle, New Jersey. Congratulations, Ray. Okay, that's wonderful. But so what you brought up a very interesting point. I got a tough question for you right here. Now, we've learned to play the best players. There's no doubt about that. But the question I got for you is, Pete Carroll came out this week and he said, you know, hey, we worked him out, but we're just not ready yet. We need a backup because I think Boykin's their backup. Boykin's got 18 NFL passes. That's not the answer. Can you trust Pete Carroll? In what he said, can you trust it? If you're Colin Kaepernick, can you trust Pete Carroll, right? A white head coach in a predominantly white-owned league, can Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III, can they trust? When, oh, by the way, I pulled up one interesting stat, and I didn't know this about Kaepernick. His QBR is better than Garoppolo's, Matt Cassell's, Kevin Hogan's, Sean Hill, Blaine Gabbert, Brock Osweiler, Matt Moore. I mean, and starters, his QBR is better than Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Case Keenum, who's terrible. If I'm Kaepernick, I don't know if I trust what Pete is selling. What say you on that? Can he trust it?
I don't know about trusting, because the NFL is a place where there seems to be a lot of favoritism or mismanaged, more or less, or hard to interpret decisions that are made. I think what he now you just called out some pretty good list there of guys that he has that he seems to have a better QBR than that, but that QBR number didn't really show too much as far as wins.
Exactly.
For him,
and that's how
especially
great, right? That's how guys get fired. Yeah. That's how guys lose their job. Wins and losses.
Yeah.
Although Blaine Gabbert took the second chance.
You just say to yourself, you wouldn't bring him into your locker room. Now, that based on that QBR and based on that list and a bunch of guys that he's listed over top of, there's a few guys on that list that whose number was worse than his that I'm sure you welcome into your locker room. So it's just a
Absolutely.
Matter of, you know, whether he's you've got to produce on the field. And then I think the baggage part for him, yeah, it may have hurt him in some situations with some franchise, like, ah, you know what, keeping that guy away from us, we don't even want to bring that stink over here. But other guys, more or less, you know,
desperate teams that can't seem to find an answer at the position, I don't understand why some of them would not say, you know what, we can at least look at it. You know, we can at least, I mean, why not? We haven't been getting nothing from anyone else. Why not this guy? But for him, he's got to also humble himself and take the time to do what's necessary to make himself a better producer on the field. And I think that to me is more important for him in order to elongate his career, because what he's done, everyone knows Colin Kaepernick by name and everyone recognizes him by face and the hair, but there are many people who know him only because of he took a stance and took a kneel down on the field during the national anthem. And that's the only reason they know him. They know nothing of his production as a football player. And I think for him, he's got to now distance himself from being this quote-unquote controversial topic and sell himself to teams in the league to say, look, I'm about trying to get wins. I'm a player first. And that's the opportunity I need, is to show folks that I'm a player. Otherwise, he's going to be like Robert very soon, just a guy who was a flash in the pan, produced a couple of things here in a season and a half, and boy, that was some kind of memory. That's all we can call it. It's a memory at this point, because it's nothing from this point forward, and even for them in the last couple of seasons forward, that's anything to talk about.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. First of all, you brought great insight. I knew you would. I appreciate you calling in. And big ups to your dad this week. I know you've been running around with him, so big ups to him. And ask her, do me this favor before I head over to Super Referee Craig Muckle. Ask your dad, Colin Kaepernick, trust what Pete Carroll said, and let me know this week what his answer is, all right?
I can clearly answer that for you right now. Oh, hell no. Nah.
Very good. There we go. Thank you, Mr. President. All right, Wild. We appreciate it. We'll see you down the road.
All right, bro. Take it.
So, man, I tell you, that guy brings it real good. We got another caller in, and it just happens to be. You got it. Let's get this back. I can't stop laughing at that music right there. Super Referee Craig Muckle, the only guy in town that has the Kurt Angle entrance music chanting "You Suck." Craig, are you there?
I am. Good morning. It sounds like you had a much bigger crowd at the arena to boo at me, to tell me I'm not doing a good job.
Talking Colin Kaepernick, and I wanted you to chime in before we get into hoops. You probably heard a good caller there, Tim, called in and gave his take, his extra point on Colin Kaepernick. Do you bring this guy in your locker room? By the way, I looked it up, and his numbers are better than the Steeler backup, Landry Jones. His QBR is better than Landry Jones. I'm not sure why you guys aren't bringing him in for a workout. Do you bring in Colin Kaepernick? What's going on?
Well, I would say if I'm the Steelers, you know, I think that, and I'll just say this, if we did not have a Landry Jones, or certainly if we weren't able to draft the guy out of Tennessee that we did in the fourth round, who everyone thinks could be the next, you know, Ben's successor, I think Colin Kaepernick is not a bad option. And I'll start with this. Not that Colin is a bad actor, but I, you know, the Steelers culture has always been one that, you know, if there are people on the fringes, you know, we have the culture to keep them in line. And I think we've seen in the past, if you don't toe the line, a.k.a. Plaxico Burress, a.k.a. Santonio Holmes, just to name two of a, you know, fairly recent past, you won't be there. And, you know,
so are you suggesting that give me the running back's name. What's the running back you guys like? Who's your running back?
Bell.
From Michigan State. Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
So if Le'Veon, so if he decides to kneel down in week one at Heinz Field, is he out of there?
No. I'll tell you why the answer is no, and I said it very quickly. Le'Veon Bell's been part of the team now for several years. If he's going to do something like that, he's not going to do it off the clear blue sky. He will have had it vetted out first. He will have gone to Coach Tomlin.
That's the way the organization's run. Okay.
Yes.
So in Seattle, where it's a little loose, and I asked Tim this question, I'm going to ask you, can Colin Kaepernick, with these numbers are incredible. I mean, his QBR, I ran through the list. I mean, I'll run through the list of backups real quick. His QBR is better than Landry Jones, Case Keenum, Matt Barkley, Nick Foles, Scott Tolzien, Geno Smith, Paxton Lynch, Drew Stanton, Bryce Petty, Cardale Jones, Matt Schwab, Derek Anderson, Brett Hundley, and Ryan Mallett. So he's better than just about every backup, and he's better than maybe half a dozen starters. Can he trust what Pete Carroll said when Pete Carroll said, we kicked the tires, but not right now, no thanks. Was this a race thing here, or was this a football thing?
I think it was a personality thing. And when I say personality, I mean not personality of either Pete or of Colin. I think it's a personality thing of the team. Look at the Seahawks. I mean, that's a team full of big personality, very outspoken players, starting with Richard Sherman. And some of the guys don't even like the current quarterback all that much all the time. Okay?
Right.
But on that defensive side of the ball, you got a variety of guys, again, starting with Sherman, but you got Chancellor back there, probably Cliff Averill as well, and the quarterback. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. And so, you got four big personalities back there. So if Pete says, I'm thinking about bringing Colin in, and it's pretty well known that Colin and Richard Sherman have no love lost already, are you going to bring him in to destroy the chemistry in your locker room if the differences can't be mended? So that answer is no. So I think it was a personality issue just on its surface because we're not in the locker room. We're not in the organization.
Andrew Jones is a drop-back quarterback who, in my opinion, if you look at the numbers, and Oklahoma's had great quarterback, he may have been the greatest quarterback at Oklahoma ever. And, I mean, he plays for me, not Colin. I don't care about the QPR. Just don't.
Here's the other thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, the only other thing I was simply going to say is that, unfortunately, I think we've seen it. What works in college football doesn't work in college. It doesn't work in pro football all the time. And I think the same can be said about basketball, since I know we're transitioning to that.
Yeah, no question about it. And speaking of which, so Bron, a little slow out of the gate here. This game to me looked like a high school AAU team versus your adult league in Bowie. That's what this looked like. So I'm just trying to figure out how can Cleveland slow this thing down. These one-liners are pretty good. I don't even write them down. They come off my head. How can Cleveland get back in this thing? Because people are saying it's already over. It'll be a sweep. It'll be five games. How can we? Because I'm rooting for Bron. Do I just take over the lifetime when the game comes on, or what do I do?
So here's the thing, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week. For Cleveland to win, the big three and others have to be elite. We know even if LeBron has a subpar game, which to some degree he did. He had a lot of turnovers. Otherwise, he had a pretty good game. But he can't have Kyrie and he can't have Kevin Love having subpar games. He can't really have Tristan Thompson be non-existent. He can't have J.R. Smith and or Iman Shumpert be non-existent. And I think by and large, all those guys were not good. So it was basically LeBron and everyone else versus KD, Steph, and, you know, Draymond and others. So LeBron was overmatched as the game went on just because the rest of the Cavaliers are playing well. I expect the Cavaliers to play better again tomorrow. I'm not sure it's going to make a difference because if I'm Golden State, here's what I would do defensively. I wouldn't even waste my time trying to slow LeBron down because even as good as he is, and I've yet to see it at any level of basketball, no one player is going to single-handedly win a game. And what I mean by that, LeBron's not going to score 75 to 80% of the points. It's physically impossible.
Right.
So let LeBron score at will. Yeah, so I'm going to let LeBron score virtually at will, and I'm going to make sure that the other guys who can potentially make it more difficult, Kyrie and Kevin Love, don't do anything. Because it's already been proven, if they don't do anything, they're not going to win.
Well,
so why waste your
time? No, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, why waste your time with essentially the, you know, immovable object, the irresistible force, when you can certainly deal with, you know, more human-like players on the team to defend?
Yeah, no. So you don't think you did not give your prediction last week, but I think I know what it is. I'm rooting for Cleveland. I don't think they're the best team, but how many games does this go and who wins it?
I'm going to say six only because I think the Cavaliers don't go down that easily. They have a lot of pride. LeBron's out there, obviously. I'm going to say six, but it's going to be the Warriors. I think, you know, to me, the opportunity for the Cavaliers existed in game one.
Right.
And
no,
they weren't really close.
Right. They were not close. 113-91. So there's a rumor floating around, Deacon, because if Golden State wins this thing, then there's got to be some teams to gun for them next season in the Western Conference. One of those teams, obviously, is Pop and his gang with San Antonio.
Yeah.
And there's a rumor floating around that free agent Chris Paul is intrigued by joining Pop's group. Now, don't they have Tony Parker? Did I miss something there? I know he got hurt, but it's crazy that they replaced him already. So what's going on with that?
Well, essentially, you know, Tony Parker's older than Chris Paul. I think, you know, on an injury front, they're probably about, you know, equal. But at the end of the day, Tony's a little older than Chris. And, you know, the Spurs are trying to have to get younger to keep competing. So it would make sense. Plus, you know, let's face it. I mean, Pop is a known commodity. I mean, he's almost the Bill Belichick. He probably is the Bill Belichick of the NBA. He's got five titles.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay,
right.
So.
Right. They have a system there. They have a way of doing
yeah.
there.
So, you know, if you got a guy like Chris Paul would be intrigued by that because he knows he's going to go to a situation where he knows he's going to compete probably at a higher level than the Clippers have been able to compete. So
it's really a no-brainer. But, I mean, you're in L.A., you know, you're playing at Staples Center 40 nights out of the year. That must be real nice living. And I mean, the Clippers are already younger, so why would he – you know what I mean? I'm just like, why would he go leave that young up-and-coming? I mean, they did make the playoffs and that. I don't know what's going to happen with Blake Griffin, but, you know, it would seem like to me that's his team. Now he's got to go in and kind of fit in. And who's to say Tony Parker just goes away in the night either, right?
Again, the Spurs have a program. He's not going to go away in the night, but, again, they're selfless. Tim Duncan took a step back when necessary. When David Robinson took a step back when Tim Duncan was emerging. They have a culture of selflessness, and it served them exceedingly well. And I don't see Chris Paul. Chris Paul's not such a strong personality, at least, you know, all the time, I guess I would say, that he's going to demand X, Y, or Z. But I think he's certainly got enough of a resume to Tony Parker to recognize that, hey, I'm happy to take a step back. Manu took a step back and still played an integral role even after Kawhi and Tony were hurt this season. So
yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, so I think it makes a lot of sense. It's really a matter of, you know, the Clippers certainly can pay Chris Paul more money. And it's ultimately on Doc Rivers to convince Chris, this is what I can do to upgrade the team so we can compete. We can beat the Spurs ourselves and compete directly with the Warriors. Because really that's what it amounts to. Right now Chris is seeing, I got to go through at least two teams. I got to go through at least San Antonio before I even think about the Warriors.
Well, before
and,
I ask
and Houston as well. I should say that is two teams. Sorry.
Well, yeah, that Houston as well. Before I ask you about the Wizards and their draft, let me ask you a referee question here, because I was shocked this morning to read the report that your favorite player, your boy, Kelly Oubre Jr., was actually injured during the playoffs. So my referee question to you is, do you all get some sort of pregame notice or what have you that a guy's banged up or hurt? Like, is there a meeting with the coaches about anything? Security?
No.
Or you just show up and ref the game? That's it.
So
there's no back room? Because it just seemed like to me this was way shocking. Nobody knew. I mean, I thought something was odd that he wasn't playing much, especially for their defense was. But then I found out this guy's having stuff drained out of his leg. Like, what the heck's going on? So from a referee standpoint, you don't get that.
No, at the college level, you know, here's the deal: if the assigner may say to you, "There's some things going on here," he's going to tell you that before the game. He's going to give you direction. He may know that it's a rivalry game or there was something that occurred to be on the lookout for in the last game with one or both teams, maybe not necessarily against each other. There could be a situation with, you know, an injury, that kind of thing. But, frankly, a lot of that research is incumbent upon ourselves as individual officials to do that. And that's the kind of thing we would talk about as a crew in the game, in the locker room before the game.
I got you. Okay, I got you. Okay, good. It was interesting. So I was surprised that Oubre was injured. But tell me about the Wizards now, because, I mean, obviously the number one priority, even more than the draft, is, by the way, NFL 96 days away. I just saw that on SportsCenter. I had to get it in. The Wizards, they got to sign John Wall long-term, lock him in, all that. That'll be, you know, $1 billion or whatever that is. Okay, I get it. But the next most important thing is going to be who they draft. Any early thought on who they might draft or what they may need? My personal opinion, I think they need a more athletic big man. I think the hammer there, what's his name, Gortat, was a little stiff towards the end, and athletic big guys were moving all around him. But I'm not a basketball guy. I don't know. I'm a hockey guy. I don't know. So you tell me, what are the Wizards?
Well, I'm impressed. I think you're getting some knowledge from these from having me on so much.
I think so.
Because I would say as well, and I, you know, I had to do a little research here this morning to get some names for you to make sure I actually knew what I was talking about or to confirm what I would have said. But in any event, I do think Wizards are dreadfully unathletic up front. And so they definitely need a lot more athleticism, because and we just talked about it a few minutes ago, look at the Warriors. They have Kevin Durant, who's essentially a seven-footer. Look at the athleticism he brings. I mean, the Knicks have Kristaps Porzingis. He's going to be the face of the franchise. I mean, we see Giannis Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee. These are big guys.
Yeah.
Yes. Bigger players, very athletic, who could play a multitude of positions. And so this is, you know, like it or not, that's the way the league is going. So I have a few names for you, though. And I've tried to look at teams that play a similar style in college ball that they would play in the NBA. And, again, oftentimes when you see the tournament, these are guys who are likely going to be in the pros. So My first guy I'm going to mention is Kennedy Meeks from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, you may remember mm-hmm. he was banging hard with Shemet Karnowski of Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Kennedy Meeks.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. I didn't really see him in any draft projections consistently for this. Now, the Wizards only have a second-round pick, and they draft pretty deep, 52. Their first-round pick now the Nets have when they picked up Bogdanovich. So that's going to hurt them. But, you know, you talked about signing John Wall long-term, and I'm thinking, you know, there had been some conversations after, you know, the Game 7 failing, where he did not have a good game, that maybe John Wall needs to go. And, you know, that's not, to a lot of people that sounds sacrilegious, but, you know, think about it. I just said the Wizards don't draft until 52, okay?
Right.
And so that's basically 90% of the draft is effectively over by the time they get so. And that's not to say they're not going to have any good players because, I mean, Chris Boucher, who got hurt before the tournament at Oregon, insanely athletic. I love the guy. I mean, he's a rim protector, and I think he can definitely get on the floor, would be great with the backcourt. I look at if they want to go for a hometown guy, and the Wizards have a little record of that, a little less size, but can definitely shoot, Chris Jenkins from Villanova, local guy.
Yeah, Jenkins, local guy. Yeah, local guy. Is he a Prince George?
He is. But,
good for him.
But getting back to the John Wall thing, I mean, if you want to make a statement, I think, you know, Washington is clamoring for a statement type of move. What's the, you know,
let me just tell you, not being a basketball guy, that ain't the move. Now, you know, the same thing is over on the hockey side where they're saying, you know, well, you know what, you know, if you go back to the Mount Rushmore BC Sports, Wall and Ovechkin are on it. Ovechkin's older, right? He's got more gray hair than I do. So, all right, I'm okay with that. But John Wall, you know, left Kentucky, did his one and done. He's still a baby. He's a kid. So to give up on that now just because of one game seven, I mean, this guy got him all the way there. He's the most complete. I don't think Beal's Beal without Wall. I don't think Gortat's without Wall. So I saw that article, and I was like, that's just somebody trying to make people get them more likes or something like that. There's no way I see that happen.
I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm saying if the Wizards want to make a statement.
I get what you're saying, especially with they don't pick until 52, which, by the way,
right.
I don't know about Ernie Grunfeld giving up a number one pick for Bogdanovich. Didn't work. I love him.
No, I mean,
don't get me wrong. I love him, but, man, for a number one pick for him, I don't think so.
Yeah, I tend to agree that was probably a little rich. But here's what I would say. I mean, the one thing about making a big-time trade is you're getting a known commodity. Now, here's what I was going to suggest to you. John Wall, though, is the biggest chip, arguably, that the Wizards have. I mean, you know, you can say Bradley Beal is probably equally as important. But for the sake of this discussion, we'll say John Wall is the most important item, the commodity that the Wizards have. I mean, there are teams that can use a John Wall in their backcourt. I will start with my team, the New York Knicks.
Right.
Okay? So,
the
Knicks are not going to give up Porzingis, who's – right, but my point is that, hey, if the Clippers think Chris Paul is actually going to walk to San Antonio, maybe the Clippers would be interested in John Wall. And, oh, by the way, I'd give you John Wall if you give me Blake Griffin. How would that be?
Man, that's a pretty good deal. That's not bad.
Okay. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. You know, if Doc Rivers sincerely thinks that Chris might leave, I got to do something if I'm Doc Rivers. Maybe I call the Wizards up. Or maybe the Wizards call Doc Rivers up and say, hey, Doc, if Chris leaves, how about think about John Wall for Blake Griffin straight up.
Mm.
You have now you have an athletic big man.
Right.
Now, by the way, you know, you can get, you know, Bradley Beal can get him the ball. You can and then you can maybe get Isaiah Thomas from the Celtics.
Yeah, you probably could.
All of a sudden,
he's handicapped with his height. Yeah,
of course he is.
No, you bring up some good points there. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, look, it's easy for me.
Better though. I like that Kennedy Meeks. I like that, especially at 52. They may have to move up a little. You know, they may have to move up a bit. I don't think he'll go all the way down to 52. But so what? They'll give away some future pick or something like that and slide him up a little bit. So, man, very insightful, man. This was good stuff. We got to run here. But, hey, anything going on in your world? I know you're not getting booed because it's not basketball season. Or do you do AAU basketball? Because I understand there's a big tournament up in Jessup, Maryland this weekend. Are you out on the AAU circuit where we can boo?
I am not working AAU as at the moment, but you know, I have done it in the past, and so if some is around that, you know, my group is assigned to, then I would do that. Absolutely.
You got it. And just want you to know, thanks to you, we've got our golf guy coming on in about 2 weeks because the U.S. Open is going to be out at I believe it's out at Congressional, and so Bill Fritz is going to be our guest in a couple weeks. So appreciate that.
Fantastic.
So, hey, as always, man, we love having Super Referee Craig Muckle come in, and just to let you know how much we love it. Let me turn off his music there. So hey, real quick, 2 minute warning. We're running out of time here. Fast show today. Fast, just like this year. I told you everything's fast. So 2 minute warning. I actually got two 2 minute warnings. One, we gotta pay homage. It's 1 year since the death of the GOAT, the original GOAT, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. So you know what? All those others, Jordan and Brady and whoever else, Jack Nicklaus and all those others that want to say they're the GOAT, that guy right there is the original GOAT. He's an OG. He's the original GOAT. So, Muhammad Ali, we love you, and we're thinking about your family. The second 2 minute warning, I've never had two, but this story leaps off the page as well. You know, I've worked, it's been my life's work. I'm a dad. And it's been my life's work to protect young people, children, and boys especially that are growing up, you know, looking for coaches and father figures. It's really, really important to me. And when I see he get off with 2 months of jail time, it makes me sick. So I don't know what kind of country we're headed to, but I can tell you right now, we got to do a better job protecting our young people, because this misdemeanor child endangerment, that ain't cutting it for me. So when you vote this year, keep that in mind. Find out what your elected official, where they stand on protecting our children. Find that out. All right. So, hey, we got some predicts. We were 3-0 last week, 3-0, which makes our overall record 33-27. Look at that. Getting a little breathing room here. So here's what we got today. Interesting picks today. I got PK Subban. I'm not giving up on PK. I'm not. I just won't. I think he wins that first game in Nashville. I've heard they are closing streets. They're doing everything they can. Everybody's got a T-shirt on. Everybody's got a hat for the Predators. I got the Predators winning game 3. Not only that, but I cannot and the Penguins. I got Jeremy Maclin, who was cut by Kansas City. I got him getting picked up within a week. And I got Cleveland winning game 3. Come on, LeBron, let's go. Extra Points LLC at x.com. Extra Points at Extra Points. The book is still there. Go buy it. And as always, and everyone knows it, the extra point is up, and it is always good.